You're listening to the 12 Days of Crusademas 2023, brought to you by the Long Box Crusade. Boys flying. Hello and welcome to the 10th day of the 12 days of Crusademas for 2023, brought to you by the Long Box Crusade. The 12 days of Crusademas is our gift to the podcast community to celebrate the holiday season. And we're celebrating this joyous season by sharing with you some comic book titles that may have gotten by you in the past. Each day of the 12 days of Crusademas, we will bring you a hidden gem of a comic series brought to you either by one of our holly jolly co-hosts or one of our podcast celebrity guests until we get all the way to December 25th, Christmas Day, everybody's favorite day. And I'm your host for the 10th day of Crusademas, Jason Albrecht. So let's deck the halls with some weasel skulls. And I'm here with, well, it's kind of an intimate evening tonight, folks. We've got two of the four wise guys joining me for today's unwrapping. And I'll start us off with, as always, the founder of the Long Box Crusade himself, Pat DJ Cristado Sampson. Happy holidays, Pat. How are you doing this evening?
Happy holidays to you as well, Jason the Weasel Skull. You did say it's kind of intimate. You know, it's nice to be here, just the three of us, two cool guys and a chump.
Don't beat yourself up like that, Pat. Come on now, it's three cool guys.
Oh, wait. Yeah, there's three cool guys and one chump. But, oh, I'm sorry. Delvin couldn't be here with us today. But we do miss him, especially after that comic that he brought the last time. So, man, yesterday was a good day, wasn't it?
It was. That was a fun one.
Yeah. But, I had to send him out to do some running around to get some decorations. And hopefully he's going to come back. I said, Delvin, make sure when you come back, you got those lights up outside. I want the blow-up ones. I want the big blow-up air things that I want them up and ready. You know, I want the big snowman. I want a Santa Claus out there with a jolly laugh going on and just fun stuff. So hopefully we'll see how it goes today if he finds anything left in with Christmas being so close. It's hard to find
Christmas,
stuff anymore.
Pat. It's time for miracles.
Yeah, I believe in him. I believe that Delvin will pull off this Christmas miracle. I do. I do believe.
But hope springs eternal.
Yeah, it does. It does. But speaking about springing eternal, let me tell you, this is the 10th day of Crusademas. So it's my gift that I've been doing this year to provide a nice joke for everybody. So speaking about a joke, I haven't been doing so good, but maybe this one I'll turn it around.
I was going to say, I hope you've been keeping those gift receipts because I think there's going to be some return gifts at the end of the holiday. Please continue.
Yeah, speaking about gifts, I did get some gifts, but everybody didn't like them. So I guess everybody's just meme. Dun-dun-dun. Did you get it? I just thought of that one myself, too. That was a good one.
Remember when I used to do the Christmas joke shtick? And I mean, they weren't good, but
yeah.
But damn.
I mean, comparatively speaking.
Yeah. So today is 10 Lords a Leaping. And speaking about leaping, what do you call a lord who always is jumping around?
Is it a lord a leaping?
No, it's not, but that's a good one.
He's context clues.
A king fly. I don't know.
Well, a lord who is always jumping around is a bouncy noble. On to Jared.
Well, folks, that's Pat. And on that note, Jared, do better.
I don't usually have confidence in my Christmas jokes, but today I really do.
And that's my gift to you. Merry Christmas, Jared.
Thank you, Merry Pat. Christmas. Just as I was coming on here, I was checking the X, formerly known as the Twitter. Delvin has a post of him at a day spa, and he's getting a massage, it looks like. And it says, hashtag no Christmas lights, hashtag Delvin Day.
Delvin's got me muted again.
Yeah. Hashtag eat that.
Was that really a hashtag? Or are you just adding on?
You know what? Let's move on. Thank you for welcoming to another Crusademas Day. I just love this time of year. Studio is all cold and I've got my sweater on and it's good stuff, man. It's good stuff. And you know what? Speaking of your coats and your sweaters, you know, Santa Claus has a very famous suit. Now, the question is, where does he store it when he's not wearing it?
In the Santa closet.
That's Ooh. Correct.
It's to the host.
God bless us, everyone.
All right. Let's move on. We can't top that. All right. As you all heard in the singing intro, today is 10 Air Boys Flying, which means we're unwrapping Air Boy number one from Eclipse Comics from July 1986. So for just a little bit about a brief history of this series and the creators, the character Air Boy debuted during World War II and was originally introduced in Air Fighters Comics number 2 in 1942. That's a lot of twos.
I heard that too.
The series was renamed Air Boy Comics in 1945, and it ran 89 issues until 1953. The original Air Boy was a crack pilot, martial artist, and genius mechanic who used his skills to fight for the Allies with his zany compatriots against an equally colorful cast of villains. Fast forward to 1986. Eclipse Comics editor-in-chief, Kat, and I'm going to mess this name up, Yaron Wode, realized that the character Air Boy was out of copyright and in the public domain. Kat wanted to bring the character to Eclipse and teamed up with comic book talent Tim Truman, who was originally slated to both write and draw the series. When Tim's friend Charles Dixon found out about the project, however, it was agreed that he would scribe and co-plot the issues with Truman, who would handle the pencils. The series would be set in the 80s, and Davey, the son of the original Air Boy, would be the protagonist. Now, as far as why I chose this book, I'm going to be honest. I'm coming at this out of the cold. I found a run of these Air Boy books in a dollar bin fairly recently, and Death Probe has always gone on about, you know, how much he enjoyed the series. Plus, I've always been a fan of Chuck Dixon since his run on Green Arrow, and I was familiar with and enjoyed Truman's artwork on Hawkworld, and he also wrote some of the stories for Star Wars, scripted those for Dark Horse. And, you know, you folks know the old Weasel Skull enjoys World War II and high-flying adventure. So I thought this might fit the bill. I liked it. I'll just say that right out front. But let's see what the lads think.
So, Jason, you're just saying you're hoping this will do better than your last few World War II kind of stories that you brought the last few Christmases?
Yeah. That's right, folks. For those of you who may not have tuned in with last year's, you know, 2022 Crusademas, and you can go back and listen to it if you didn't. I chose a book that, although I enjoyed it, perhaps as the lads pointed out, maybe didn't quite grab the spirit of Christmas. And, you know, I think they all needed some antidepressants after the book. And that book was about World War II, you know, and it was set in Japan. And it was soldiers fighting the Japanese army, a lot of death and a lot of bullets flying and chaos. And this book was, well, originally set in World War II, bullets.
Bullets flying, yeah.
Uh-oh. I don't know. Well, I don't know. Maybe you guys will be kinder to this one. Let's talk about it. But first, before we kick off, have any of you read any Air Boy before? And Jared, I know you have, but I'll let you answer for yourself.
You know, I have. I had a pretty decent run of it back in the day, but it has been a while. I don't think I've cracked one open in maybe 20 years. So it was definitely nice to return to this. I was just want to comment that I'm really impressed with. I mean, you always do a good job at this, but like the history thing, I had no idea that it was a previous property. Like I always thought that this was something they did to make it feel like a 40s. Book made in the 80s. I had no idea that it had real roots there. That was really cool.
Yeah, I didn't either until I started digging into this. And now I kind of want to look back to some of those original Air Boy issues. I wonder how much they fetch But what about you, Pat? Have you read any Airboy before?
I have not read any Airboy before. And, you know, I'm trying to think if I saw it on the shelves at the comic book store in the 80s, 86, you said this was. So I probably was probably hitting my LCS, probably more 88, 80, more, probably around 89 is when I started hitting it harder. So I really didn't see these around at all. But I do, I mean, when you went through, like Jared said, you went through the history of it, but also the history of the creators as well, too. So, yeah, there's names that I know and some of the series that you said. I'm like, oh, yeah, I do remember those guys. So thank you for bringing that up, because Truman with the Star Wars, I'm like, oh, that's where I'm recognizing his art from. And we'll get into that with us into this issue.
Yeah, yeah, both of them went on to have long storied careers, and Truman was already well on his way, but this is early Chuck Dixon work. Charles Dixon, sorry, it was Charles Dixon at the time.
It's like Apocalypse Now, where it has Lawrence Fishburne. Or Lawrence, I'm sorry, it has Larry Fishburne, right? He went the other way, didn't he?
He classed did. It up. Yeah, yeah.
Let me tell you a quick side Christatos family Christmas story.
Okay,
go ahead. So, you know, we have a little dog. Mm-hmm. And our little Chihuahua dog, his name is Chuck. He's got an overbite. And for little dogs in Wisconsin, when it gets cold out, you know, it's super cold out. So he doesn't like to go outside much because he doesn't have much on his body for that. So we put a sweater on him, a nice Christmas sweater, you know, a red and white candy stripe kind of sweater. When he puts that sweater on, we call him Charles.
Oh.
Oh. More sophisticated that way.
He is more sophisticated with the sweater on. Is it like a smoking jacket type of thing?
It's just a sweater. Just a cool sweater. Yeah, just keep.
I did a little research while Pat was telling us his heartwarming Christmas dog story. Not a lot of the Airboy Air Fighters Golden Age comics come up for sale on eBay, but there are a couple that have sold recently.
Mm-hmm.
Ironically, they're both issue number 5. Not the world's best shape, because, I mean, nobody knew to keep comics in good shape back then. But, I mean, decent. And number 5 sold for $66, and then the other one sold for $81. So, yeah, that's if you want to go grab some old Air Fighters Golden Age, get you a part-time job.
Start mowing some lawns, I guess. Now I should roll into a quick summary of this issue that I brought. And like I said, I brought issue 1, and it's kind of a lean and mean first issue. Young David Davy is what he goes by in the book, Nelson III. His idyllic life is violently shattered when he, his father, and his tutor, Hirota, come under vicious attack from a mysterious organization. The three are able to repel their assailants, but at the tragic loss of Davy's father. And what is revealed to Davy in this issue is that he is the unknowing heir to a fortune and legacy spun out of World War II, and his life is going to change forever. So with that, what do you guys think of the issue? And we'll start with Pat this time.
Well, Jason, I am glad you asked. As I was saying before, the artwork in this, I kept looking at it. I'm like, man, this is really nice artwork for this. And I just couldn't put my place on where I may have kind of seen it. And with you talking about Truman, I'm like, oh, yeah, the old Dark Horse Star Wars comics that I was collecting and getting every time. So that's what it reminded me of. And the layouts on this as well were kind of putting that kind of old timey, but yet still up to snuff. You know, it wasn't just squares, you know, it had some really nice layouts that were able to tell the story. And what I also liked too is the quickness of the story. The short pages, and on the cover, you know, this thing's 50 cents, and every 2 weeks for 50 cents, you could get a comic. Read through it. I want to say I didn't read through it super fast, but it was quicker than what we've had before, and I wanted more. I was thirsty for somewhere. I'm like, where's this going? This is really good. Right away in the beginning with the action that was happening, and it just kind of pulls you in. I could see this as a movie, the opening, and you see this happening. Just the kid fighting and training and, oh, okay, mentorship. You kind of know what's happening. And all of a sudden, boom, they get attacked. And, the dad dies. Ah! Oh, man. I was just pulled in from the beginning of this one. So I wanted to read more and more of it. I want to know who's the guy the dad was talking to. Is he a bad guy? Is he a good guy? Yeah. I don't know.
I kind of got the sense he was a bad guy, but, you know, I don't know for sure. And to your earlier point, for fans of Saturday matinee theater, this really does have like a Flash Gordon or one of those Batman serial feels about it. It cuts away a lot of the filler and it just lays out, here's a lean and mean story. Wait 2 weeks and you get the next piece. And it leaves you hungry for more.
What I also did like, and I don't know, hopefully I'm not taking stuff from Jared, but thank you, Jared. I will continue.
Jared's giving the wrap it up signal, folks.
Is at the end, I didn't read all of the stuff at the end of it, the whole prose stuff that was written, but it did give a little history as I pieced through it a little bit of the older stuff, probably from the air strikers or whatever, air fighters, whatever this was called before. So it kind of gave you a little history of it, and then I pieced together some of the stuff to find out where Davy comes from and his dad and that. So I'll leave it at that.
All right. Thanks, Pat. Let's move it over to Jared. Jared, what do you have to add?
Well, good news, Pat. You really didn't steal anything. Jason actually stole a little, but that's all right. It's going to bear repeating. This book is, I was happy that my memories were still good. This book is this perfect balance of a 1940 serial. They're short. I think it's like a 12-page book or something like that. Somewhere in that neighborhood.
Somewhere around that, 16 or under, definitely.
It was under 16, I'm almost positive. I want to say it was a dozen pages, but it was like Jason said, it's lean and it's packed and it just feels like a 1940s serial, while at the same time having an exceptionally 80s story vibe to it, too. I mean, I'm pretty sure there was Uzis involved at some point. And
there were Uzis. There were definitely Uzis in
it. You know, mansions and helicopter attacks. It was like one part Schwarzenegger, you know, think Commando style movie, and one part Flash Gordon serial, and it was a perfect balance. And it filled me with such glee because it was just, it was basically one part Saturday matinee theater, one part action film face-off, and it was just awesome, you know. And I can imagine, I haven't read the old Air Fighters either, didn't even know that was a thing until tonight, that if I had to guess, there's probably a fair amount of anti-Japanese sentiment in those books. I'm just guessing. But, you know, a lot of the books and comics and cartoons and movies and serials of that time have that because that was, you know, that was the national, you know, outlook. And I just thought it was so cool that he's immediately bringing in the Japanese mentor guide. On one hand, I'm like, oh, that's really cool, you know, because the 80s, I think, was a 80s was a great time, I think, for healing the relationship with Japan. Like, the American culture and Japanese culture started blending again with Transformers. Couldn't think of another example. But you know what I'm saying? And what became super popular in the 80s culture, ninja culture, right? Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow, American ninja movies. They had motorcycles called Ninja.
Karateka, the game.
Yes, and doesn't this feel like you're exactly watching a canon movie? Like Canon got the properties to an old 40s serial and made a movie with it. Like, this is what it feels like to watch that, and I love that feeling. This is awesome.
It's interesting. The character Hirota, from what I understand doing my research, was one of the first victims that Air Boy defeated in World War II. So they bring back this defeated former Japanese fighter pilot to be his mentor in this one. So that is an interesting observation you bring forward, Jared.
And an interesting twist when they showed that later on. I was like, oh, okay. I was thinking he was going to die, but then the dad died. And so,
I thought so too. I thought Hirota was a goner. He's out there.
Well, I knew better. I knew Hirota was going to be around. I know it's a very Mr. Miyagi, Danielson kind of relationship. Again, Japanese culture being a culture is very centered around honor. You feel that already in issue one. Like, Hirota's there as a debt of honor. I think he and the original Air Boy have legitimately become friends. But I'm hoping that at some point they tell the backstory of why they were adversaries and then how they got the mutual respect and how they became friends, because that's all good stuff, man. There's just so many cool layers and nuggets that you just want to know more about. Pat, you mentioned that. You just want to know more. This is how good serials of the 40s were written, as we know. I don't know if I said this already, but I love it.
Can I ask, I'm going to jump ahead before you give your candy cane rating on this, because Jason said you've had this before, right? Or you may have
had a good run of this.
When it was it when it was coming out, or was it later on?
I discovered it in the late 90s when Chuck Dixon was hot in running the Bat Universe. Okay. Like, and just Jared's two cents. I don't think anyone's ever run the Bat Universe better than Chuck Dixon did. I think he was the best. I learned that I really like this Chuck Dixon guy, and I think I hit a bunch of Airboys in like a 50 cent bin or something like that.
Okay.
And I was like, this is odd. And then I opened it up and I said, Charles Dixon. Well. And that's what I bought of it. I actually took a couple of them to get signed at a WizardCon with Jason one time. And that was like right around 2000. And his face lit up when I dropped that book on his table to get signed. He was like, you've been bin diving. I see. You know, like, that was like his first big work, as far as I know.
Okay. I was wondering what you saw in it. You know, was it something on the stand?
Chuck Dixon, and you know my proclivity for like zaniness. It's just looked a little zany and a little different than anything else that was out there. And they went on to like this, they were still doing Airboy story. They may still be for all I know. But I know as far as like 2009, 2010, they were still dropping like one shots and stuff every once in a while.
Well, if you like zany, I think this book had plenty of zaniness, but did it have enough zaniness to get all 12 candy canes from Jared? Well, let's find out. Let's roll out and see how many candy canes folks are going to give this book. It's time. It will rate our interest in the series. It will use that official candy cane scale, and on a scale of 1 to 12 candy canes, 12 being pretty much extremely interested and 1 being really no interest at all, how many candy canes would you rate your interest in pursuing more issues of this type? Jared, go ahead and lay it out.
Well, let's just cut to the chase. 12 candy canes. My collecting habits have changed over the years. I don't really collect a lot of comics anymore. And when I do collect, I collect strictly to send them to our friend Tim Benson at Omaha Bound. And so I have on my phone about maybe 8 or 10 titles that I'm actively trying to complete the run on. Reading this has reignited that love. I'm adding it to the phone. I'm going to be seeking these out. I would love to get these hardbound. So this is an absolute 12 with enthusiasm. I'm excited to start hunting them again.
So I'm redeemed from 2022 from Jared.
You're back in the big time, baby.
Back, baby. All right. Well, let's see what Pat has to say. Come on, Pat. You going to give me 12 or how many are you going to give me?
Well, Jason, let me tell you. I like to do my ratings on a scale of 1 to 4. 4 being humor, heart, spectacle, and art. And I have to do this because it's yours and you're not given a thing anyway. So I got to keep the tradition going on here. Just like the jokes. I got to keep doing somebody else's bit. That's what I do.
When are you going to drop one of these so-called jokes?
Listen to me talk. It's all the time.
It's all gold.
It's all the jokes right there. It's all the joke access right there. It's going above you. And when I'm below you and I'm zinging, I'm zanging, you know, it's everywhere. But let's go on to humor. Not so much humor in this one. So, you know, I can't give it much there at all. I didn't really find. If I'm going to give it, I'll give it 1 for humor because there was a little funny stuff just because of the 80-ish kind of a vibe that it was throwing out there. Heart. Definitely a lot of heart in this one. And especially when you read the backstory stuff that I just skimmed over. And it was like, wow, they really put a lot of detail into this thing. It was like 2 pages of just somebody writing a bunch of stuff about it. So I got to give them the credit there that they were definitely doing their homework on this one. Spectacle had me in action. As I mentioned before, this thing was super nice to look at with the art as well, too. So that's a 3 for the spectacle. What do we got? Humor, heart. Heart was a 3. 1 for the humor. That gives me at a 9. No. That gives me at a 10.
It's harder than
see, I'm not used to doing it. It's hard to do this.
You got it too deep.
With your enthusiasm and the knowledge that you dropped, I'm bumping this to 11. If I can find this out there, definitely will scoop it up myself because I want to know more. I want to know it. Right at the beginning, the guy he was talking to that's making this guy all crazy. I'm like, why is this guy crazy? Or why is he punching the TV? Who punches the TV? Unless you're mad.
Those TVs were expensive.
You know how much a TV costed back then? That's a tube TV, man. You can just can't just punch a tube TV.
No, you got that's all man right there to bust.
Yeah,
a
tube TV. Oh,
man, that's right. I can't even lift a tube TV anymore.
I know. Thank God for flat screens, man.
Guys, I got tears in my eyes. I feel redeemed. Oh, with that will wrap up day 10 of the 12 Days of Crusademus. And we'd love to hear from you if you're familiar with any of the comics we cover here on the show. Or if you gave one of our recommendations a try, let us know what you think of it. You can find us on Twitter/X, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And we're all at Longbox Crusade. You can email us at contact@longboxcrusade.com. Or you can pick up the phone and call us at 707-532-5269. That's 707-532-L-BOX.
Pick up the phone. Go ahead, Pat. Thank you know you want to do it.
Jingle, jingle.
There it is. And if you're loving Crusademus and didn't get a chance to listen last year, or just want to hear more Crusademus, you guys really want to listen to the Lion and the Eagle, man. It was great. If you scroll far enough back on our feed, you can find all the episodes from The Ghost of Crusademus Past, 2022, 2021, 2020, 2019, 2018, or even 2017. If you go looking for 2016, it's not there. So we didn't do it. We start in 2017. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Be sure to come back tomorrow to find out what the next gift is from under the tree here in the festively decorated Longbox Crusade Studios. Thanks for having me, fellas. In the words of the immortal Bill and Ted, be excellent to each other. Until next time, DJ Christados, play me my favorite Christmas jam.
Wickety, 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 whack.
Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful.
Song clips and characters discussed are copyright of their respective copyright holders, and no infringement is intended. We are just fans that like to share our love of comics.